Morning. Just take a moment and look around. We're a little thin. Just think of somebody who's normally here this morning and is not here to make a phone call or reach out to them just to let them know that you're thinking about them. So just take the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's week this week, especially with our membership here. We're now 8 lessons into my series. And for those who are visiting, this is a journey that I've taken for myself. The things that I need to do to better my walk with Christ, to be better my walk as a Christian. So this journey is something I'm sharing with you. So most of it I'm doing is not towards you. It's about the walk that I'm making. Hopefully we can all learn something from it. I'll be honest. This has blown my expectations out of the water once I've started this study to realize how he's affected me in my life. And that's why I encourage you to do this walk on your own. Do this study for yourself, because you can't get out of it just in a short period of time that I have this morning, each part of these lessons. And once you start doing the study, now, I think you'll see and realize it will make a difference in you. And we're lesson 8. Next week and the week after that, I'll be preaching again. So we'll be finishing up the 10 lesson series on the basic walk of Christianity. What we're going to talk about is seeking the knowledge of God this morning. And it's a unique study for me, because I've done this lesson before in different ways, but this study have kind of gone a different track. You know, we're told in this, in Proverbs, and when Jerry was here, he was doing the study in Proverbs, and when he gets back, he'll continue on. And so I got a few verses throughout Proverbs I want to share with you. One verse that Jerry, you'll hear his way of saying Proverbs in here. I found one related to him that I thought will fit quite nicely. But in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it tells us this: the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. You know, that picture we were showing a little bit earlier, so often we think, looking for God's wisdom, we want to get the biggest telescope there is. We want to look at the farthest stars and hope that we can find the wisdom of God. But I'm telling you, it's like a snake. It's right there in front of you. You know how you look for things sometimes. It's so close that if it was a snake, it would have bit you. That's God's wisdom. So often we're trying to get that telescope or that picture we had, looking for this great wisdom of God and searching for it, and it's right here in our presence. Right here. He tells us in James chapter 1, in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's that simple. We got to ask God. You know, the concept we talked about this whole journey was, it's the journey is simple and it's not complex. But I didn't say it was easy. You know, it's simple to run a marathon. You run from point A to point B. That's pretty simple. There's no big description to that. But run a marathon. If you never train for it, prepare for it, you're going to suffer. We as Christians are the same way. God's concept of love and mercy and grace is pretty simple. But we a lot of times don't take advantage of it the way we should. In Proverbs, we go back to Proverbs verse 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despises wisdom and instruction. The best way to put this verse, respecting the Lord, respecting our Creator, honoring Him. Once we're able to do that, we can start beginning our knowledge to Him. Don't be like fools and despise wisdom or instructions. So often people take offense when you tell them what they're doing wrong. And so we are, as humans, we kind of do the same thing. But we develop our wisdom being willing to take instructions. We're told that in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. We got to have a different approach when we come to God. We got to realize who our Creator is. We got to respect He created us. He's the one that made us. So He knows what works for us. He knows what's best for us. Here's that verse I was talking about, and it's out of the Jewish Bible. But how it is so perfect the way it presents itself. And Psalm chapter 119, verse 66 tells us, right off the bat, teach me good sense. Have we not heard that from Jerry over the last several months when he teaches out of Proverbs? He talks about wisdom is common sense, good sense. Teach me good sense and knowledge. For I have put my trust in your commandments. That's where it comes down to. We've got to realize and start trusting what God tells us, trusting His commandment towards us. Because remember, we're seeking His knowledge, not ours. We're seeking what He has to offer to better our lives, not what we think. So often we want to change what God says. Why is there so many churches out there in the world today? Because they take this and they change it to meet their needs. It's simple. We just got to follow His commandments and His ways. And then we become more knowledgeable. Listen to this in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will. Not just knowledge, but knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good works, and increasing in knowledge of the God, strength with Almighty, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You know, we talked about this in the weeks past. Once we truly understand what's going on, once we take on God's knowledge, once we take on His wisdom, we look at this world a totally different way. So often we get so frustrated. Why would God let this happen? Remember us talking about that? Why would God let this happen? But we got to go back and remember and go back all the way to Adam and Eve and in the garden. We're the one that gave up the garden. We're the one that changed this world. And ever since then, God's been trying to reconcile our relationship. And so when you have a better understanding and what's going on in this world and what created it, that God's trying to retrieve us and have that relationship, we have a totally different attitude towards this world. You know, we talked about Peter a few weeks ago, the ability to walk on water in the midst of the storms. You know, that's what God's knowledge does for us. In the midst of the storms, we're able to walk on water through difficult times. People look around us and say, why are you so happy and cheerful in the midst of your storms? Because I have a better knowledge and understanding from my God. People look at us weird. And I've been there. I've been to funerals and looked at somebody and say, I'm so sorry. And they said, don't be sorry. Because they understood what better things were coming. We've been told so often in this congregation about the what revelation means. It's bad, going to get worse, but the victory's won. And when we face this world and understand that we know things are bad, they're going to get worse, but our victory's already won. And when we seek in that way, we are truly blessed. Because in Proverbs 3:13 tells us, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Because we realize what this world is only temporary. We realize pain and suffering is only momentary. Because the victory is won all at the end of this. We understand that. When we take that approach, we become more wise. 2 Peter 1, 5-8 tells us this. For this very reason, listen to this, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For it is this purpose that you increase measurably, that you will keep from being ineffective and unproductive in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be productive as a Christian? You want to be productive in your knowledge? You want to be increased in that? You want to be effective for Christ? Effective for Christ? For all these things. Self-control. Knowledge. Love for one another. We're looking for knowledge and seeking for wisdom, and a lot of times in all the wrong places, which we'll talk about here in a moment. We're looking for gaining God's knowledge, not ours, in the wrong places. Because when we start looking for God in the right places, this is what it does for us. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what it does. It frees us from death and frees us from sin. We have a better understanding. Now, where do we seek that knowledge? Colossians 3, 1 through 2 tells us this. Therefore, you having been raised up with Christ, keep seeking for the things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Setting your minds on things above, not the things that are on this earth. There's a struggle. We live on this earth. I'll be honest with you. We look and see things around us, and we expect to get our knowledge and our abilities here on earth. And it comes from God above. You want to know the Father? Know the Son. And look at the life that He lived. Look at what He did the whole time He was here on earth. Feeding the hungry, healing the sick, doing God's, His Father's work. That's what He did. And that's the way we need to be. If we focus on the trials and tribulations and what's going on in this world, we're going to be disappointed each and every time. If we follow what Satan tells us, he's going to lead us astray every time. Because it's just like in the back in the garden when he told Eve, is it really meant that you would die? Did God really meant? Focus on things above, not on things of this earth. Colossians 3, verse 16 tells us this, and let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now listen to this. Through hymns, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God, gratitude in your heart. Once we realize this and we get God's knowledge and understanding, it brings so much joy to us. It brings us so much joy because we have a better understanding of what's going on. And when we admonish others or correct others, we realize we were there at one time. So we do it lovingly, not sternly. We do it by showing them where they need to change, knowing that we were sinners before. And then where did Christ come to us? While we were yet sinners, He died for us. If we have that approach towards all those who are around us, our brothers and sisters, those who are out there, we have a different mindset. We're thankful for God for giving us the knowledge and understanding to be able to share it to others. We realize what a powerful message we have, how we can make a difference in people's lives, not only out there, but within our own congregation. Because there's so many, you look around, since COVID, there's so many things have changed. And they need us. They need us to be loving and kind and with understanding, godly understanding, not our understanding. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm human. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I don't get how people act. You know, it's their choice to make the bad decision. All we can do is give them the right decisions. No, in John chapter 14, verse 6, it tells us this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven and through the Father is through Jesus Christ. There's no other path. There's no other directions. There's no other way that we can take. We have to understand that. It's His will, not our will. It's His way, not our way. And we got to understand that His way is better. It's for more pain, less sorrow, less struggles when we're willing. Our pain and suffering usually comes from our resistance to doing His will. Because if we truly understood His knowledge and seek His knowledge, we would understand that this is all temporary, slight and momentary. Philippians 3 verse 4 tells us this. What more I consider everything a loss compared to the supreme greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. Everything has no value compared to what Christ has. We should be willing to give it all up for Him, knowing that we're making the better end of the deal. Like somebody comes to you, you got change for a 20, I got a 5, I'll change it. It's for your hand to mine. That would be a better for me to get that 20 and give them that $5. If we would understand that, then knowing that what we have to give to God is like God saying, you got change for a 20? I got a 5. Here, take the 20. That we are blessed so much more, so much abundantly, when we just follow His will. But so often we want to hold on to what we got. That cheap little $5 bill compared to that 20. That's what we want to do with our lives so often. First Thessalonians 2 verse 13 tells us this. And we also thank God continuously, because when you receive the word of God, which is the you have heard from us, you accepted it not as human words, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which indeed works in you who believe. It's not a, we shouldn't be listening to what men have to say. We should be listening to what God has to say. And when we follow His, it will automatically, people will see the difference. It will work in us. Once we have that understanding, there's no ifs, ands, or buts that you're a Christian. Because you can't hold it back. You can't not do it because you have an understanding. It's like, ta-da! So, you know, like ha-ha moments in your life that I've talked about before. You want to share that. When you get such good news and understand what it really is worth, you want to share it. And that's the way it will work in you. Because of what was read earlier, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is divides souls and the spirit, joint and marrow. The Word is living and active. It's just not sitting here. It's living and active in us. You want to activate the Word? Then study it. Get to know it. You want to activate the power of this? then get into it. Because that's when it's active. Because they will sit on that table all day long and not do anything till somebody is willing to pick it up and start using it in its everyday life. That's how it's active. That's how it was created, to work through you. And God gives us the free will to make the choice. We have the choice to take it up or just let it sit there. And when you pass it, they have the same ability to take it and use it or just let it sit there. But that's not your responsibility anymore. Once you turn it over, it's that individual's responsibility to do that. But if they would realize the power that's in God's Word. You know, God loves us. And He could create people, creatures, or anything to love Him back. But He chose to give us the free will. Because He wanted you to love Him by your choice, not to be created to love. He could do that and like that. But God chose to have the power to not to be able to make a change, that we have to do it. God has the power to do anything in the world but to change your will. And He chose it that way. You know, I'm in the fire service and there's always something going on and always somebody make a bad decision and stuff like that. And like I tell the guys, it says, you can tell them the right way to go. You can show them how it will benefit it, but they can still choose to go the wrong way. I always say you can't fix stupid. It's their choice to make that decision. I can't make them make that decision on their own. And sometimes I feel that way with my kids. I can show them the way and say, I've been down that road. It hurts. It's going to be painful. You're going to be without money because you're not spending money the right way. You're not preparing for it. What happens? They have to find out on their own. And that's the same way with us as Christians. Sometimes we have to find out on our own. The only way we're going to be craftsmen at this book right here is to be in the Word. All of us know this verse, 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 15 tells us this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How much of that do we need today? There's so many teachings out there right now, and Satan's running rapid. He's telling you, you got to accept this. You're not a good person if you don't accept this or accept that. No, I'm a good person because God made me a good person. Nothing I had to do with it. Because we follow His Word. I can get up here and preach all day long, but once you walk out that door, it is all on you. So if you're not in here studying to be that workman who's not needed to be ashamed, that's something you'll have to work on. Because you should be able to come in here the next Sunday when I preach again and say, Brother Bear, what you preached last week wasn't quite right. And this is why. You should be able to discern what's right and what's wrong from my teaching. And that's what I want you to get at out of all this lesson this morning is Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They received the word with all eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see these things were so. That's what y'all need to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. You should be receiving this word eagerly. Give me more. I want more. As I've been walking through the study of this, that's what's been happening to me. The Lord has taken me down a path of studying that I want to see more. And that's the way we should be. But we should be in that scriptures daily so we can rightly tell when somebody's not saying what is right. So if somebody says, well, the Bible tells you this, where? Because what the Bible tells me is right here. And this is what it says. because there's so many teachings out there. Satan's running so rapidly right now. And we don't have the few that we have to rightly divide the truth. Where are we going from here? You know, I don't over worry about it because in the last days, this is what's going to happen. We don't know if we got a year or 20 years or 1,000 years. But I know the day is coming. And I want to be prepared for it. And that's what we need to be able to say to the Lord. I rightly divided the truth. I was eager for the truth. And I knew when somebody told me what was wrong because I found out for myself. That's the lesson I encourage you this morning. To know this word, that if you hear something, no, that's not right. You may not know book, chapter, and verse, but you know it's not right because you've been in His word. Just like the shepherd knows the sheep, or the sheep knows the shepherd. That's the type of relationship we had. The shepherd, when he calls out, we know his voice. And that's the way we need to be. We only got a couple more lessons out of the series, and I hope you're getting a whole lot out of it like I am. And like I said, it's only an encouragement to you because it's been a walk and study and a struggle. I'll be honest, so there's some things that I've had to correct in my life. There's things as I've gone through the study, even through this study here, that I see I need to change and work on. So I don't know where you're at in your life, but I know who's got all the answers. I don't care what you're struggling through in life right now. I don't care what difficulties you have. It could be loss of a loved one. It could be loss of a pet, which I suffered this weekend. It could be struggling with finances or difficulties in any way, but I know the one person who has the answer for everything, no matter what your situation. I can tell you light and momentary, but sometimes it doesn't work. I don't know where you're at with your spiritual walk. I know where I'm trying to get, and I'm learning I got more and more work to do. As I've done this study, I've realized I got a whole lot more work that I need to have done in my life. And I need to work on things. But we're here in it together. As Wesley was talking about it this morning, we can't do it by ourselves, can we? We have to do it as a congregation. We have to do it with... That's why He developed and built the church. So we can lean on one another through difficult times. I don't know what you're going through, but I know there's a lot of people out here who will be willing to pray and be there for you. I know we have righteous men in this congregation. And we've been told a prayer of a righteous man availeth much, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. I know that we have that here. Because we're staying faithful no matter what the storm is out there. As we were talking about this morning, Wesley and I were talking about it. This church is staying faithful. So we're here for you. Anything that we can do, why don't you come down as we stand and sing.